This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, May 9, 2024, The Ascension of the Lord, by Father William Doc Holliday.
It is not for you to know the times or the moments which the Father has put in His power. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Ascension, probably just second to the Transfiguration, is one of the things that I would have liked to have seen from a historical standpoint. Just can't really fathom what that must have looked like from a historical standpoint. But the Ascension, as we look at it, is not merely the remembrance of an event in history. It is the remembrance of the mystery that was transacted in history. You never want to lose sight of the fact that the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ is without doubt and explicitly a supernatural event. This is much more important than how tremendous it might have been to look at it from a historical perspective. We need to delve into things like this. We need to try to understand the mysteries of our faith. Just because a mystery doesn't mean that you cannot come to grips with what it signifies, how important it is for us. Our Lord, in the reading, it is not for you to know the times or the moments which God hath put in His power. We have to understand that we're not going to be able to figure everything out. We are not going to be able to explain everything. We're not going to understand everything. We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. We are supposed to sit back and believe, but to understand that this is the way God works. You know, we think of it, for instance, we think of the holy angels. Well, angels are angels. They know everything that God wants. No, they do not. They do not know everything that God knows. As a matter of fact, angels don't know what other angels know. In Daniel chapter 10, you have an explicit scriptural presentation of two angels who both have been given directives by God, and they confront one another. And Saint Michael the Archangel has to come in and let them both know what's going on, and then everything's fine. But until St. Michael comes in, they're confronting one another. Because one angel, God has given me this mission, and the other angel, God has given me this mission, and they were both going to do what they were supposed to do, and there was going to be no yielding in this thing. Until St. Michael came in and let them both know. Angels communicate to one another, and it's always a higher angel that communicates to a lower angel. So the angels don't understand what's going on with each other all the time. We see this in a more implicit manner when we look at Scripture. And when you look in these two places, come if you like, take notes on things like this, Psalm number 24 and Isaiah chapter 63. Both of these passages speak of this Messiah, this King, who is going to enter the eternal gates, or the everlasting gates. When we hear about eternal gates and everlasting gates, what are we talking about? Heaven. Who attends the gates of heaven? Angels. And this is where we see angels obviously not understanding what other angels know. For instance, the angels that are in heaven were not down here on earth because their mission is to keep the gates of heaven. And they're not down on earth and see what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't privy to His crucifixion. Because why? Because at the time, they didn't need to know. You don't need to know that to keep the gates of heaven. Other angels attend to our Lord Jesus Christ while He was down here. So they knew all about His earthly ministry. They knew about His birth in Bethlehem and everything. They knew all these things. But when our Lord ascends into heaven, again, Psalm 24, angels cry out during coming our Lord, "Be ye lifted up, O eternal gates, and the King of glory shall enter in." The question is, but who is this King of glory? Isaiah chapter 63, when the prophet speaks under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking of the victorious Messiah, there's a question posed of this one who's approaching the everlasting gates of heaven. And it said, "Who is this that cometh from Edom in dyed garments from Basra, this beautiful one in his robe, walking in the greatness of his strength?" The Lord answers back, "I that speak justice and am a defender to save." The question is, but why then is your apparel red like the garments like someone who treads the winepress? The response is, "I have tread the winepress alone." Our Lord speaking of his sacrifice to these angels. And then again, the question, who is this King of glory? The angels that are accompanying our Lord respond, "The Lord who is strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." This is an example of the fact that not even angels, and of course not us who are not angels, are going to understand everything that God is communicating to us. But when we look at the ascension, it might not be for us to know every single nuance and how did that happen and all that kind of things that we like to inquire about. We just need to sit back and look at it from a spiritual standpoint and the profound nature of what is going on here. We need to think spiritually and not earthly. Now, the gospel tonight, the gospel, it starts in Mark, it's Mark 16, it started in verse 15, and it sounds just tremendously positive, absolutely tremendously positive. "At the time he appeared to the 11, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." Oh yeah, that's very positive. The verse before it, "He upbraided them with their incredulity and their lack of believing when they told that he was risen from the dead." He upbraided them. So in the verse before this very positive thing, Jesus is upbraiding. That is rebuking someone for doing something. You know, it's, well, what? How charitable is that, Jesus? They're all sitting at table and you come and you upbraid them for not understanding. Well, you're supposed to understand. You've seen my miracles. You heard my teaching. I have fulfilled in my resurrection everything that I told you, and you're still going to sit there like you don't know what's going on. He upbraided them for that. He rebuked them for that. They were still thinking in earthly terms. He wants his people to jump the tracks from thinking about things in this world and how this affects this in this world and how it affects this in this world, and think of how it affects the glory of God and think of how it affects our eternal salvation. Those are the things that we're supposed to think about, spiritual things. The ascension is a picture of something that was a historic event that, yes, as glorious as it must have been, it pales into insignificance when we take into consideration the spiritual reality of what's going on here. Because when Luke presents the ascension to us, he basically outlines the book of Acts for us. And what is the book of Acts about? The growth of the church. The ascension into heaven begins the growth of the church. It is the consummation of salvation. Everything up to this point had been working towards salvation, the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, his miracles, his teachings, his passion, and then his rising from the dead again. Now he ascends into heaven. The doors of heaven are open to him, open to flesh, to which it had been closed since the fall in Genesis. The gates of heaven have been closed to flesh, and our Lord goes in the flesh in which he lived in this earth. The ascension is the consummation of our salvation. There's actually a picture. It's an icon. If you can Google it when you get home. I don't do show and tell like big picture. Look at the icon. The icon, and it gives you a little work to do. The icon of the ascension. If you look at the icon of the ascension, you would think that it would be a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, like off the ground, lights and attending it. If you look at the icon of the ascension, it looks like it's a Marian feast. Literally, it looks like a feast for our Blessed Mother. Because you have almost the entire icon, and Mary is at the very center. She's at the very center, and she's surrounded by, she is the center of the Apostolic College, and she's attended by angels. This icon of the Ascension, like I said, it looks like a Marian feast, but it's the feast of a consummated salvation. Our Lord's in the picture, but he's up top because he's ascended, okay? He's ascended into heaven, but everything else is centered on the Apostolic College that's centered on the Blessed Virgin Mother and attended by angels. That's the church. That's the church because that icon picture of the Ascension is the spiritual picture of what happens. Our Lord ascends into heaven and he's consummated our salvation. This is why the gospel. Now go preach the gospel after he rebukes them for not believing. Now go preach the gospel. This is why the angels look, they get yelled at by Jesus for being incredulous. And then they go to the Ascension and they get yelled at by the angels. Men of Galilee, why stand you looking into heavens? This one who's been ascended, he will come again as he left. Okay, so the apostles are just getting schooled right and left over their misunderstanding of what's going on and the necessity of doing what God has called them to do, preach the gospel. Because the Ascension, you know, a lot of people, you know, I've heard this one before. The Ascension is not, oh, how sad it was for the Blessed Virgin Mother. She lost her son again. He left. Oh, how sad it was for the apostles. They saw him crucified and he rose again and they think he's going to hang out with them forever and he goes up into heaven and leaves them behind. The Ascension is not about the departure of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the significance of the church and the world, because that's why our Lord endured everything he endured, is to establish his church, the body of Jesus Christ in this world. And the Ascension is the icing on the cake. It's finished. It's consummated. This is what the Ascension's about. Again, an icon that I explained before. The Blessed Virgin Mary. She's in the icon of the Ascension, but the Blessed Virgin Mary is the living icon of the church. She is the church. Every time we see the Blessed Virgin, every time you pray your Hail Marys, okay, it is to be understood that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the icon, the picture, the living picture of the church. In the center, as I said before, of the Apostolic College, whom our Lord established. This is why we say in our creed, I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. It has to believe and teach everything, absolutely everything, the apostles taught, the way they taught it, in the context that they taught it. This is the Apostolic College that our Blessed Mother, the church, sits at the center. It's not about, well, the apostles were, and Mary was a part. Mary's the church. The apostles surround the church, attended by angels. So the angels continue. Our Lord ascended into heaven, but we read Psalm 90, he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Those are our guardian angels, angels that he puts over churches, angels that he puts over certain regions, angels that he puts over certain vocations, all the angels that attend us in this world. This is why their picture is in the Ascension icon, but they are down here with the apostles and the Blessed Virgin Mother, who is the church. The angel attests to the ascended Christ will return. He's going to return. But in the meantime, we have something to do. That's the end of the gospel. Go there and preach to all nations. You know, Mark is very succinct about it, but Matthew's a little more fleshed out. Go, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do all that I commanded you. Not what's palatable for certain epochs in human history. All that I've commanded you. Then the church is doing what she's supposed to be doing. This is what we're supposed to be doing in the meantime. This is what the Ascension's about. The Ascension is our Lord ascending into heaven, and we should look, it's not a departure. It's thank you, Lord, for establishing the church. Thank you for calling me into her through my baptism and confirmation. And now please let me, in the meantime, before you come back, do what you've asked to do, what you've commanded to do. This is the Ascension. Very cool historic event, but so much more. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.